something very, very important for you to understand. I want to talk to you about the power in the name of Jesus. Because without the name of Jesus, you really don't have power. In fact, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. He says, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And he says, and I will be with you even till the ends of the world, even to Haiti. So we are thankful for the Word of God. But many people use the Word of God as if it is just rote. They say it because they know it's Christianese. And the Bible says this in the book of Mark. The Lord teaches, many on that day, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, many on that day will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not ministered in your name? Have we not cast out demons and healed the sick and done all of these things in your name? And the Lord will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. So there's something deeper than just the mention of his name. There's something more profound that has to take place in us. We need to understand that the name of the Lord has to be written upon us. We have to be in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord has to be in us. And then when it's spoken from our mouths, it will have authority and power. But just because it's spoken, you can have somebody who can speak the name of the Lord, but not be Christ's. They can do it for show. They can have wrong motives. They can just have gained something that they learned from being in church or with the Christian community. But we're looking for something more real than that. We're looking for his name to be placed upon us in such a way. And so I ask you to open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. There we read about Jesus. It says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He has the highest name given to him. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We open our hearts. And Lord, we know that you can change us in a moment of time. And Lord, right now, as we gather around your word, we thank you for the power in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you would teach us and instruct us. Help us, Lord, to step into that which you have made available to us through the cross of Calvary. Let the word of the Lord move in us and his name be upon us. And I speak it over you now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, we read, and his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but in the age to come. He, the Lord Jesus, has been exalted, and his name is the name that is all powerful. None compare with him. He has the highest name. And that name, with that name, we are changed into the image of God. With his name, we become co-workers with the Lord Jesus. With his name, we receive the mind of Christ. With the name of the Lord Jesus, we have a power and authority to subdue darkness and demons and have dominion over every unclean thing. In the name of Jesus, there is a release of his authority and his power. From the beginning of time, man learned to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to quickly give you seven things about the name of the Lord. And I'll say it to you right at the beginning. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. You need to fear the name of the Lord. You need to believe in the name of the Lord. You need to confess the name of the Lord. You need to possess the name of the Lord. You need to act in the name of the Lord. And you need to go forth in the name of the Lord. So that the name of the Lord is in you and on you and all around you and through you. And you live by his name being put upon you. See, in ancient times, a name was not just something that you call people. It wasn't even just something that you did. If somebody is called Tanner, it meant that they would tan hides, leather. If they were called Thatcher, it meant they put grass on the roof. And if your name is Smith, it means your ancestors were blacksmiths. It's true. But it's more even than that. If we understand the full power of a name, it's not just what you do, but it's the essence of who you are. And the name of Jesus is not just his title. His name, and he has many names, it's not just a title that we call him or address him with. And it's not just what he does, because he is Savior and he is Lord of Lords and he is King of all the kings. He has many names. And he has a name that is new names that we don't even know about yet. We haven't discovered them. But it's also the essence of who he is. It's also what is inside his being. So when the name of the Lord comes upon us and he writes his name on us, we start to change because of the name of the Lord. We have a responsibility then. That's why it's sad when somebody backslides and falls away from God. Because it's not just that you decide, okay, I don't want to go to church now, or I don't want to be a Christian anymore. It's because the name of the Lord has begun to be put on you. And the essence of who he is and all the greatness that is in him has touched you. And you've started to change if you've become a Christian. And so when you walk away from that, you walk away from the essence of who God is. You walk away from the essence of his name. So when we go forth, we must understand this. And the more we understand about this, the more you'll walk in the Holy Spirit. The more you will say, Lord, today, let the name of the Lord be over me and go before me. Let the name of the Lord be in my words and in my hands. Let the name of the Lord be more significant than the oxygen I breathe and the blood that flows in my veins. Let the word of the Lord be vibrating. The essence of God be vibrating in me today. So we read in the book of Genesis, right at the beginnings of man's walk with God with the first family. And we read there in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 23. It says that there was sin because of this man named Lamech. And then we go to verse 25. It says, Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in the place of Abel, since he was killed by him. Seth also had a son, Enosh. And at that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. This is where it all begins. When we learn to call upon the name of the Lord. Many people might respond to a salvation message, but they haven't learned to call upon the name of the Lord. They haven't said, Lord, I need you. I need you. The calling upon the name of the Lord is so important. There must be something inside of us that calls and says, Lord Jesus, I need you. When people come to the altar, there should be a something of hunger and need and desperation that comes out of a person that says, I need to be saved. Oh God, I call upon you. Now even the mere mention of his name has power and authority in it. There have been some very dark times in my own life when I became sick because of the struggles and difficulties of being a pastor. Because, you know, every day in a pastor's life, there's several people who are really in bad shape. And the next day, there's a whole new bunch. And the next day, there's more. And sometimes something happens that's worse than just people having struggles and problems where they need help, which we want to minister to. But sometimes people can shoot arrows and attack. And if Satan gets into a church and there's gossip and divisive activity, it can come like every day, a little here and a little there and a little there. And somebody might say, you know, I'm just going to give you a piece of my mind. And that piece of their mind is like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I have been in the ministry over these 40 years where I came home and I couldn't talk, where I couldn't hardly breathe. It was like the Christian church can allow demon spirits to have a road into an attack, ministers of the gospel. So be very careful what you say and how you do it. You might think, well, I'm just going to add one little thing. But be very careful. And I've come home and gone down into the basement and lied on a carpet and put a cloth over me. And all I could do was say Jesus. I could hardly get his name out. And I would just say Jesus, Jesus. I would call upon the name of the Lord. And I'll tell you, I fell asleep calling upon the name of Jesus and woke up strengthened and revitalized and ready to do the work of the ministry again. So you call upon the name of Jesus. And men learned right from the very first family when murder and darkness came upon the world to call upon the name of Jesus. The second thing I want to tell you is that you have to revere and honor the name of Jesus. And if we go to the book of Malachi, chapter 4 and verse 2, we read, "But for you who revere my name," in some translations it says, "But for you who fear my name, will the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from a stall." Hallelujah. And look what the next verse says. "Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be as ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when you do these things, says the Lord." Those who fear the Lord, who honor the Lord, who revere the name of the Lord. This honor, when you use the name of the Lord and when you hear the name of the Lord, is holy, holy, holy. There ought to be such an attitude and an understanding in you to fear the Lord and fear the name of the Lord. Because the Lord says, for those who fear the name of the Lord, who fear my name, he says, they shall rise with healing in their wings. And they will get empowered to destroy the works of the darkness. Now, the third thing I want to tell you about. First one is call upon the name of the Lord. Second one is revere and honor the name of the Lord. And the third thing is we need to believe in the name of the Lord. For it says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You know the verse. "That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." But then we go down to verse 18. It says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's only Son." So there is a believing in the name of Jesus that is mandatory. If you're a person of faith, you have to believe in the power of his name. This is your call. You are to believe, I have something. I have something. something so powerful, something that's got inside of me, something that's been branded on my forehead, something that moves in my hands. It's the name of the Lord. I believe in the power of His name. Hallelujah. Let the name of the Lord come. I'm trying to equip you today for your next missions journey. Get ready. So the name of the Lord, we must call upon the name of the Lord. We must revere the name of the Lord. We must believe in the name of the Lord. And we must confess the name of the Lord. I like what it says in the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 14. We read there. The apostles were brought before the Pharisees and they were being chastised. And they said in verse 14, "You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You got Barabbas. You killed the author of life when you crucified Jesus. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong." It was Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see. So here's a confession. They were told to stop this. They said, "You quit this preaching about Jesus. You quit doing this kind of gospel ministry." And they said, "What is better, for us to obey you or to obey God?" And then they said, "We will not stop to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." You know, whenever I travel across a border and they say, "Do you have anything to declare?" I always want to say, "Yes, I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of this nation." That's what I feel like saying. There ought to be a confession on your mouth. Confession in the name of Jesus. He says, "If you're ashamed of me before man, then the Lord will not mention your name before the Father who is in heaven. But if you confess me before man, I will confess you before your Father who is in heaven." There's a confessing of the name of Jesus. It's by the name of Jesus. The early disciples and apostles had no problem saying it was in His name that it happened. They said it before magistrates and those in authority. So we call upon the name of the Lord. We fear the name of the Lord. We believe in the name of the Lord. And we confess the name of the Lord. Because you know, one day, this is going to be complete. And we are going to find, as it says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, if we will be overcomers. It says, let's look at verse 11. "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. And him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will I leave it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from God. And I will also write on him my new name." Woo! Now this is what I'm looking for. I want the new name of the Lord Jesus written on me. Because what I experience these days is extraordinary. It's fabulous. I want His name tattooed on my heart. I'm not talking about the skin out here. I'm talking about deep down inside. I want the name of the Lord written on me. The name of the people of God. The name of the Father. And the new name of the Lord Jesus written on me. And that's given to overcomers. Now the fifth thing is that we need to possess the name of the Lord. And in the book of Ephesians, we read about that in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." This name of the Lord Jesus and this name of the Father is given to us by the Father. And Paul says, I bow my knee unto him, unto the Father, because he has released his name, his essence, his power, his authority. It has come upon us. He's saying, I kneel, because it's not just something that you use. It's something that has been given to you. You possess it. It's like a child being born into your family, and you give them your name. And it's like that. They have your DNA. The family DNA is in that child. They have your name, and you want to teach them how to carry the name of your family. They have another name that we want them to carry. It's the name of the Lord Jesus. And they need to carry that name, to possess that name. I can't do that because of the name of the Lord. It's because that name's been put on me. It's because that's who I am. I possess the name of the Lord. It's in my bloodstream. It's in my DNA. Hallelujah. So men need to call upon the name of the Lord. Men need to fear and revere the name of the Lord. Men need to believe in the name of the Lord. Men need to confess the name of the Lord. Men need to possess the name of the Lord. I have two more. Men began to act upon the name of the Lord. This is so amazing, because everything that the disciples did, they did in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had authority in his name. They saved people in his name. They delivered people in his name. They baptized people in his name. They prayed in his name. They prophesied in his name. They taught in his name. They delivered people unto Satan in the name of Jesus. They anointed people, laid their hands in the name of Jesus. They did miracles and signs and wonders in the holy name of Jesus. They healed people in the name of Jesus. They received people to their family in the name of Jesus. They rejected some in the name of Jesus. They gave life. And they went out and they came back in the name of Jesus. It's the Acts of the Apostles. In the name of Jesus, they went forth. When Jesus, in his final few days with his disciples, you can read in John chapter 16 and verse 23, and also in John 14, verse 13 and 14. But first of all, John chapter 16 and verse 23, we read, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. You'll ask my Father, and my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So everything they learned to do it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So your place today is to act in the name of Jesus. The activity of your life should be in the name of Jesus. And lastly, you go forth. You're a person called to go forth. You're not called to stay behind. Now, you might not travel over the ocean. You might never get in an airplane. But if you're designated to be here in Fort Mill or Charlotte or Rock Hill, there's a going forth that you must embrace right where God releases you to. Whenever I go on a missions trip, inevitably somebody comes to me and says, are you excited? And I say, no, I'm not. Because I know what's ahead. I know, but for the grace of God, I may not return. I had one night 2 weeks ago where I almost canceled the trip to Haiti. After everybody had prayed lots of money. If you figure 20 people times 1,300, you're talking about a lot of money. But I had a dream, and I woke up in a panic, because I don't mind going on the mission field, but I'm very careful about the protection of the people I take. That really weighs on my heart when I take people on a missions trip. And I've almost died at least 12 times within seconds of death. On missions trips, usually. So I don't take it lightly. And I know very well when I invite you to come, the challenge that you might have to face. And you don't know what it's like until you see somebody stoned in front of your eyes. The scripture of them taking Stephen and doing all they did to him will come alive to you in a whole different way. So I'm careful about sending. And I had this dream, and I woke up in the night and I said, Lord, I can't take these people into harm's way. I need the angels of the Lord to watch over us and to keep us. And I said, you have to speak to me, Lord. If you don't speak to me, I will cancel this trip. We'll pay the people back out of our own money. And I open up my Bible. In the presence of a holy God. And I read, be quiet. I said, thank you, Lord. I felt the quiet of the Lord come inside of me. And then I opened up my Bible again. And I read, I didn't go looking for it. I just, right there, I read, and you will return home. So I praised God. I gave him thanks. And I went back to bed with peace. And I never said anything to anybody because I didn't want them to lose their supper. When somebody was being stoned by a mob of 100 violent men in front of my door, all the gruesome voices of demonic darkness, filth and evil and wickedness tries to come down through holes in the sky to bring heaviness and depression and darkness and torment and fear and anxiety and hopelessness. And I said, be quiet. And I said, now, Lord, I hear your word. It's for the demons, but it's also for me. All of what is within me, be quiet. Be quiet. And then I said, for the Lord has said, you will return home. So I knew that we were safe, regardless of emotional feelings, circumstances, or what the eyes might see. It's no example. It's no coincidence. As Pastor Ed Brigham mentioned, that it happened right in front of my door. We were up on the second story roof height, looking down upon this in the middle of the day. But we go forth in the name of the Lord. Yeah. You need to learn this, what I'm teaching you today. Because the days are coming. And have already been happening in many Christian nations of the world. If you went back to the time of the Second World War, just for an example, in the days of Hitler, things like that happened rampantly. Not with one, but with hundreds of thousands and millions of people. It's happening today in places like Egypt and Syria, and some of the African nations. It will happen in the United States of America one day. There is no human answer. When our team came together after that incident, we were to go to the evening meeting, and I could feel the tension. And they were starting to sing songs like, "Holy, holy, holy." But there was a weakness. And it's not just the words you say, it's what's in your spirit. You have to have a confidence. Demon spirits are entities. They're like people. They're like a wild animal. If they sense fear, they'll become emboldened. If they sense that you are weak, even if you're saying all the right words. Thousands of Christians have fallen prey to the attacks of the enemy. And I said, let's sing a different song. And Diane had led us in a song. Hail Jesus, you're my king. So we started to sing that. Lion of Judah. And everything started to change. And then I taught about that at that moment of time. And all of a sudden, everything changed. And we got on the truck. But as soon as we had finished singing that song, and the spirit on the team just changed like that, all of a sudden, Pastor Salar came in with 5 military soldiers with machine guns. They came to collect us for the meeting. And it felt like Paul the Apostle leaving from Rome towards Caesarea and then off to, you know, and there was a conspiracy to kill him on the way. And then 200 soldiers for the Romans came and protected him for that journey. It felt just like that. So we go out in the name of the Lord. This is so important for you to understand the power of the name of Jesus and how real you must have this anointing in your life. Because in Him, it's not just words, in Him we live and move and we have our being. Hallelujah. Please stand. I'm going to pray over you. And then those of you who would like added prayer, I want you to come to the front. And please don't forget to take your gift from Haiti home with you today. And also to sign up for registering for our Feast of Tabernacles. Now, you might never go to a place like Haiti and be in harm's way. You need this where you live. For the wisdom of the Lord. For the healing prayers in your home. For the anointing of God to be on your life. Hold your hands out, please. Say this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. And thank you for teaching me. I love the name of Jesus. I love the power in your name. I love the glory in your name. I receive what you have for me. The name of the Lord. The name of the city of God. The name of my Father. Let it be written on me. Let it be in my bloodstream. Let me move in the name of the Lord. I receive your anointing now. And I walk according to it. I receive your blessings in Jesus' name. Now I want to pray for you and your family, and we'll dismiss our meetings. I speak the blessing of the Lord over you, over your life and over your marriage, over your children and your grandchildren. I release the purposes of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the persistence and the teaching and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I release to you as a holy man of God in partnership with heaven, the name of the Lord. I speak the name of the Lord over you today to be your protection and your strength, to be your rear guard, to be your joy and your salvation. to be your Holy Spirit power and authority, to be your answer in time of need. And I release the glory of the Lord to your home and to your life. I speak it over you now in Jesus' name. Amen.